If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone, welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I am your host, Jacob Reimer. Episode 60 coming at you here today, and we got a big one. Lots to discuss, some stuff going on in the college basketball world surrounding arguably the greatest player, arguably the second greatest player of all time, and his son recruiting there. So let's get into that. Plain and simple, Bronny James could be coming to Ohio State, and how could that be for the Ohio State basketball program? He's a senior this year at Sierra Canyon and is allegedly, some news broke around Bronny James saying that he will likely test the college waters, meaning he is coming to play college basketball. Not, he can't go straight to the NBA like his dad. And now he could go to the G League, not go to school, just go and hoop, play basketball, make some money, and then get drafted. But instead, he is going to be testing the college waters. And there's some pretty big programs that are in his alleged top five. The Bronny hasn't broke anything, but news reported from Joe Tipton at On3 Recruiting. If you've seen any of his edits for players or anything like that, they are phenomenal. Go check that out. On3 Recruiting, Joe Tipton. But is down to five schools potentially, maybe six, as another team has just joined the Bronny sweepstakes. So the first five that were in the mix were Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, UCLA, and USC. And recently, it has been announced that Oregon is now a slight favorite to land Bronny. You got LeBron in the shoe deal with Nike there in Oregon, with Oregon. The colors, everything right there for Oregon. And Ohio State and USC are next in line. And then after that is Michigan and USC. And from what I've read and what I've heard is that they've kind of fallen out. So it's mainly to Oregon, Ohio State, USC as the top three. And then a fourth team now is making their way in, and that is the Memphis Tigers with Penny Hardaway as the head coach. So that's interesting right there. Memphis is always sneaky in the recruiting biz. That's landing these big recruits, like James Wiseman. They landed Amani Bates, who transferred from Memphis, and I thought Eastern Michigan was where he was going, but I don't know exactly for sure where he's going. Top talent like him, but Penny Hardaway just somehow seems to find a way with recruiting. They don't really do much. Jalen Duren was a top draft pick this past year from Memphis, so they've somehow find a way, and here they are slowly creeping their way up in the ranks to try and land Bronny. And Ohio State is right there in the mix, guys. Like, that is some big-time news right there. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, okay, I'm not a huge LeBron fan. I'm not huge around everything surrounding Bronny. Like, let him just be him. Let him hoop. But, of course, all the social media is all over him because he's LeBron's son. And it's bothered me to a certain point. But now knowing that Ohio State is in the mix, like, I started out, I was not for it, but I was like, this would be great for the Ohio State basketball program, 100%. And that makes me for the recruitment push after Bronny James. That would be so fantastic for the Ohio State basketball program. So I said Oregon is the favorite. I'm going to go into each team here and why, like, they're in the mix, like the reasonings behind why they're going after Bronny. So Oregon thinks they can land him because they're the favorite, allegedly. They're the favorite because of the Nike Nike's in Oregon, based out of Oregon. It's LeBron, big shoe deal, everything there for Bronny to just stay out west with LeBron, go to Oregon, be a part of the big Nike family. All these schools are with Nike except for, Michigan and USC is still Nike, but it's Jordan, UCLA. So there's that with Oregon, and that's why they think they can land him, because of their relationship with LeBron, his dad. USC, right there, Southern California, right there where Bronny is with Sierra Canyon there. It's the home team, technically, right there for Bronny, them and UCLA. USC gets the slight edge just because they're solely Nike, and they think they can make a great pitch at him staying local in the LA area where Sierra Canyon is, where he's playing high school basketball at, and could potentially be his homecoming right there, staying with the Trojans. And they're on the rise in college basketball, making an Elite Eight appearance in the past 2 years. First round picks, top three picks, whatever you want to say about them. So they think they have a strong pitch at landing him. Ohio State, we all know the story there with LeBron, the relationship they have. LeBron has said many times throughout his life, if he didn't skip college and didn't go straight to the NBA, he would have come to Columbus and played as a Buckeye. He's got his own locker in there. They wear his clothes. They have his logo on almost everything. So LeBron plays an important factor with Ohio State. And the recruiting has been great. Ohio State's basketball is back up on the rise. It's up on the horizon with landing all these really good recruits. They have a great shot at landing Bronny, and I'm here for it. I'm saying that. At first I was not, but then I'm like, this would be huge. This would absolutely be huge for the Ohio State basketball program. Michigan, they think they were in it. Juwan Howard, great relationship with LeBron, won a championship with LeBron, and they are out of it, not actively recruiting Bronny anymore because of the Jordan brand, most likely because of that. LeBron battles with 1 and 2 with Jordan, greatest of all time. Why would he send his son to play for a Jordan brand school? So that's why Michigan's kind of out of it. And UCLA, another hometown right there. Hometown school from where Bronny is right now with Sierra Canyon. They think they were in the mix, but goes back to the Jordan brand thing right there. Memphis, I don't know what the relation is there with Memphis. They just recently came into the mix. They think they have a great shot at landing him. They got a great court, everything. It's nice there in Memphis. There's some scandal around Penny Hardaway with James Wiseman, but I think that got covered up. I don't exactly remember the full details now. But Ohio State with Bronny, that would be big time. Now, LeBron came out the other day on Twitter about his son's recruitment. Let me pull up the tweet. And he says, where is it at? This dunk by Bronny, like, that's sweeping the nation right now. One-handed, driving to the left, rising up over top of the guy, and poster dunk was just phenomenal. It's insane. I mean, he's only like 6'2", also. So, Bleacher Report Hoops, they posted, Oregon has emerged as the front runner to land a commitment from Bronny James per On Three Sports. So LeBron, the father, then quote tweets this and says he hasn't taken one visit yet and has only had a few calls with coaches and universities. When Bronny makes his choice, you'll hear it from him. # James Gang with the crown emoji. So Bronny there, or LeBron, quickly shutting down the talks of Oregon being the favorite. Yeah, I have no idea where these sources are coming from, but Oregon's allegedly the favorite. The best spot for Bronny is Ohio State. Right there, Akron, just like an hour or so north of Columbus, where LeBron grew up, where all the glory, I guess, is all around LeBron. He has his own locker, like I mentioned earlier. Like, that'd be a big face right there. We didn't actually have LeBron play for Ohio State, but he sponsors almost everything with Ohio State. In order for Ohio State to land Bronny, they have to be the first school that hosts them to a visit. Like, there's a visit is in the process of happening for Bronny at Ohio State. If Bronny takes his first visit, college visit, out of any of these schools that are apparently recruiting him and are favorites and whatever, are in the top five of his list, if Ohio State's the first, they will get him. 100% they will get him. You get him on September 3rd at Ohio State in Columbus for Ohio State Notre Dame. Bronny sees that atmosphere. He sees all the fans. Be like, Bronny, come to Ohio State. Bronny, come to Ohio State. Take our picture. All this and that. If he is there on September 3rd in Columbus, Ohio, for Ohio State and Notre Dame, first college football game of the season, under the lights, one of the best college football environments in the country, he will be a Buckeye. He's going to see all the fans and how they feel about him, how they want him to be a Buckeye. And it's just going to do so many great things for Ohio State. There's been complaints about the arena size, moving to move it to St. John's. What are we going to do with the stadium then for how big it is? They're not filling the crowd. If Holtman is able to land LeBron James's son, it'll be sold out every single night. There's nothing to compare that. Like, it will be the biggest recruitment in Ohio State history because of what it'll do around it. All the endorsements, all the ticket prices, the money that is brought in because of landing Bronny James. He's going to make a humongous NIL deal because of who he is. Now, can Columbus, Ohio support that and give him that? Give Bronny that? I don't know. Out of the schools recruiting him, LA would probably be the best option. Maybe Oregon because of Nike. Nike would give him a huge deal. Huge deal. If Columbus and Ohio State can do something with NIL that's enough to land Bronny, it would be the biggest recruitment in Ohio State basketball history. Yeah, you had Jared Sollinger, local guy, arguably one of the best Buckeyes that's ever come through here. Local guy, like I said, Aaron Kraft, John Diebler, those kind of guys. Greg Oden was a number one overall recruit. Bronny is not even in he's in ESPN 100, but he's towards the bottom of the class of 2023. But he is going to be portrayed as a number one overall just because of who his dad is and the attention that he will bring to the program. That's why it will be such a huge commitment if he comes to Ohio State. But if Ohio State wants to get him, if there's even room for him for next year, they already got four guys, had a big class this year, another big class next year. They're going to need some roster spots to open up a little bit. If they're able to do that, then Bronny's coming to Ohio State. If they schedule a visit with Bronny first, he will be a Buckeye, 100%. So next we're going to go to the NBA here. Kevin Durant and the Nets, Brooklyn Nets drama. If you have not heard, this happened at the beginning of the summer, beginning of NBA offseason. Kevin Durant requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets at the beginning of the offseason. Nothing has come of the trade because the asking prices are so much. Like, KD wants to go to Phoenix. He wants to go to Philly. He wants to go to Boston. There's been potential trade build-up talk, but then it falls through because it's not enough for the Nets' liking. They want to win now. They want players that can come in, fill out the roster, and win now, not just collect picks and assets for the future and win 5 years from now. They want to win now. That's what they're trying to get for Kyrie. Kevin Durant, it was announced recently that he went to the front office saying it's him or Steve Nash and the GM. If they, like, they're making them choose right there. Then, because the Nets aren't acting on anything, they decided to... There was an announcement from somebody that Kevin Durant could retire as retire from the Brooklyn Nets and not play a game of basketball for them. So then he tweeted, I know most people will believe unnamed sources over me, but if it's anyone out there that'll listen, I don't plan on retiring anytime soon. Shit is comical at this point. So Kevin Durant is definitely not done hooping. He just does not want to play for the Brooklyn Nets anymore. If a trade cannot happen, everyone's saying, like, oh, he's going to sit out. No, it's Kevin Durant. He sat out 1 year from his Achilles. They still have Kyrie Irving as of right now. There's no trade happening for him. Kevin Durant, he wants to hoop. He just wants to hoop. He just wants a ball in his hand, and he just wants to hoop. 100%. He's not going to sit out. He's not going to strike or protest or sit out like Ben Simmons did for waiting till he got traded, because the asking price is so much. It'll be the biggest trade in NBA history. I mean, Rudy Gobert warranted 4 players and 6 picks. Rudy Gobert, yeah, defensive player of the year multiple times, but he's no Kevin Durant. No way. He is no Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's arguably a top 10, top 15 player of all time. And he wants a trade. The Nets are asking for a haul in return. And none of the offers are appealing to them. They want guys that can win now. They trade to the Heat. They want Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero, those kind of guys that can help this team win now. If they trade him to the Celtics, they want Jaylen Brown because Jason Tatum is untouchable. So is Robert Williams. They trade him to Phoenix. They want either Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton in return, and that trade can't happen because Ben Simmons is still on his rookie extension. Same with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. So those trades absolutely cannot happen to Phoenix. And so it's going to be tough to make a trade. Brooklyn is struggling to figure out something for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving because they don't want to play basketball for the Brooklyn Nets anymore. But if come NBA season starts and there is no trade still to have happened, I believe that they're still going to play. Like, they want to hoop. They sat out a year from injuries, and they're not just going to sit. Those two guys love to hoop. They're going to hoop. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If they can't get traded, they're going to play until they get traded. And because they just want to hoop. They just want to win, succeed, and have some fun and hoop. And right now they're not having fun in Brooklyn, but I still think it'll happen that they're going to play. Moving on from the NBA, we're going to do football school or basketball school here with a few schools in college sports. So talk, this started with John Calipari with Kentucky. A lot going on between the football program and the basketball program, and Calipari comes out saying that they are a basketball school. Kentucky is a basketball school 100%, so they should not be putting anything towards football school. Well, Kentucky's been pretty good here at football recently, and Kentucky's kind of like, they haven't really done a whole lot. Like, they haven't made the Final Four since 2015. That's been that long of a drought for Kentucky. They're getting bounced early in the tournament, not making the tournament. They lost to a 15 seed last year. So, I mean, I don't know, Coach Cal. I'm totally trolling right now. They are 100% a basketball school. They one of the greatest blue bloods ever. So many championships. I think 8 championships. So many NBA players come out of there. It's just an NBA producing factory right there through Kentucky, and that's high praise to them. And I can't stand Kentucky, Carolina Kentucky rivalry right there. But I mean, it's what it is. But that discussion brought up this. Football school or basketball school? Everyone goes through some schools here. Talk about if they're a basketball school or a football school. So first up is Texas. Texas, yeah, back in the early 2000s, they had the great Texas teams winning the championships, everything like that. And then they took a big fall off. Had a little bit of a rise, late 2010s. Austin Ehlinger saying, we're back. And still nothing. They play Bama this year in football, so that's going to be a big one there. But in basketball, Chris Beard is the head coach. You got Marcus Carr. You're getting good. You're getting the talent needed to make it out of the first weekend of college basketball. They're always in the mix towards the top of the Big 12 and what's the toughest conference in basketball. And they're always right there. So they could be considered a basketball school, but no. They're more for their football. Tennessee. Basketball school through and through. I think Rick Barnes, I think Pat Summitt, the greatest women's basketball coach of all time. I mean, yeah, Knoxville with the under the lights, the pattern of the stadiums with the orange and the white mixture throughout the stadium is really, really cool. But Tennessee, I think basketball, I think being towards the top of the SEC, winning the SEC, getting a top two seed in the NCAA tournament, making it deep in the tournament. I don't think they've gotten a Final Four berth here in recent years, but they've made it to the Sweet 16. Kennedy Chandler, first round pick. Grant Williams was just on the NBA Finals team with the Boston Celtics. Tennessee is a basketball school. Rick Barnes, Pat Summitt. That's who you think when you think Tennessee. That's who you think of. Auburn is on the rise in college basketball. Two first round picks, Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. Second seed in this past year's NCAA tournament. A Final Four appearance in the last 3 years. Charles Barkley. They've got everything needed for a basketball school. They haven't won a national championship, though. They won a national championship in football. And they made it to the national championship twice in the early 2010s. Auburn's a football school. LSU. I mean, Shaq and Pistol Pete Maravich going through LSU. LSU has been a top three seed or higher the last 3 years. They go on deep runs in the NCAA tournament. They make it to the SEC championship game in basketball. But they don't have a national championship in recent years like Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Ed Orgeron, Justin Jefferson. OBJ came through there. But there's no football player that's gone through LSU to have a statue. Ooh, guess who has a statue there? Shaquille O'Neal does. Very interesting. But they're a football school. You think LSU, you think of the LSU-Alabama football rivalry. You think of the national championships they've won. Les Miles, those kind of guys. The ones being ranked towards the top all the time. They're a football school. Baylor, this is a very tough one to me. They're in Texas. Texas is known more for its football. But for how dominant they've been in basketball for the last decade, being in the mix towards the top of the Big 12, winning a national championship when everything was around Gonzaga winning the national championship in 2021. Scott Drew, they've number one seed last year. They're always right there. Baylor's a basketball school. Baylor is a basketball. It's a tough one. It's very tough because they're always right there in the thick of things on football as well. Flirting on being a top four team, making it to the playoff, winning the Big 12. They just can't get over the hump in football winning the Big 12. They're always right there, though. But Baylor is a basketball school. Oregon, this is easy. Football school. You think of Oregon, you think of the flashy uniforms, the Nike uniforms, the duck wings on the helmet and the shoulder pads. Oregon's a football school. USC. Yeah, you got the early 2000s USC, Reggie Bush, Adrian Peterson, those guys winning championships, but they made it to the Elite Eight in the last 2 years. They've had two first round picks in the last 2 years. OJ Mayo, DeMar DeRozan from USC. This is another tough one, guys. Man, another toughie right here. Going basketball school. Going basketball. USC is running through the Pac-12, making it to the Elite Eight. Evan Mobley. I mean, come on. Basketball school. Come on now. So now we got some Big Ten teams here to finish it out. Michigan State. They've been successful in football. They were the first team other than Ohio State to make the college football playoff recent years. But you think Michigan State, you think Tom Izzo, you think the Izzone, Breslin Center, Sparty, wideouts at Michigan State in the basketball arena. You think kissing the Spartan at half court for seniors. They're in basketball school, 100%. Wisconsin, the Badgers. This is a toughie. Wisconsin, they are very good in football year in, year out. Basketball, they've gone back and forth a little bit. They made it to the national championship. They have arguably the greatest win in college basketball history, beating that Kentucky team in 2015 that was on the verge of going undefeated with so many NBA players on that team. Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker for Wisconsin. Johnny Davis recently, stud, who I think is going to be a star in the NBA. But they've been more successful in football school. And last but not least, Michigan. Man, this one's another toughie. Lots of national championships. You know what's crazy about the Big Ten? In the last 20 years, they have had 6 different programs make it to the national championship in basketball. The Big Ten's a basketball conference in general. 100% it's a basketball conference. They throw in 7 to 9 teams in the NCAA tournament every year, year in, year out. And they're right there. They haven't won. The only thing that hangs over the Big Ten is they haven't won a national championship since 2000 with Michigan State. But no other conference has had 6 or more teams make it to the national championships in the past 20 years. They've made it. They got second. 6 different schools made it there. That's really impressive for a conference. That shows how deep the Big Ten is in basketball. You got Maryland, Illinois, Purdue, all basketball schools, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State, I think, are the 2 true football schools. But Ohio State basketball is on the rise. Wisconsin, like I said, they're always right there in the mix. But now here we are with Michigan. They were so dominant, 80s, 90s, running the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. Now it's flipped. Ohio State is running it now. But Michigan's been to 2. They've been to 2 national championships. They went to 2 national championship games in the 2010s. Lost to Louisville and lost to Villanova. They had a great win last year against Tennessee, getting to the Sweet 16. But at Fab Five. They're a basketball school. They're sponsored by Jordan, guys. They're a basketball school. Come on now. So there's my takes on football school or basketball school. Now to finish out the show, I'm going to give you my top 5 returning guards in college basketball. I'll give you my honorable mention here real quick. Antoine Davis from Detroit, Marcus Carr from Texas, RJ Davis from North Carolina, Jeremy Roach from Duke, Adam Flagler, Baylor, and Baylor Sherriman from Creighton, transfer from Creighton. So that's my honorable mention right there. Top 5 guards. At number 5... I got Isaiah Wong from Miami. 6'3 guard, averaged 15.3 last year. Was on All-ACC selection, member of Jerry West Award watch list. Led the Miami Hurricanes as a 10 seed to the Elite Eight and was leading at halftime. Just lost to the national champion Kansas Jayhawks. After scoring 7 points in Miami's season opener, he scored in double figures in each of the team's next 19 games. Yeah, Isaiah Wong returning guard to Miami. Going to be right there. Could be a first team All-ACC guy right there. He is that good. Isaiah Wong, look out for him this year. Number four, I got Matt Bradley, San Diego State. A guy that I'm really interested in watching when they play Ohio State in the Maui Invitational. Lefty, 6'4", 220. Just real creative with the ball. He coming in the Mountain West, was a newcomer of the year. First team all Mountain West. The Mountain West, they're on the rise again, guys. They're coming. Matt Bradley, stud right there for the Aztecs. Averaged 16.9 points per game, 5.4 rebounds per game last year. He's a problem. He is a big problem. For how long he is, he can get in passing lanes, get deflections. He is a big problem for San Diego State. Watch him. He could be the player of the year out in the Mountain West. Number three, I got Mike Miles from TCU. 15.4 points per game last year on a TCU team that got, was it 8 seed, 8 or 9 in the NCAA tournament. Took Arizona into overtime and almost beat them, but came up just short. In TCU's two NCAA tournament games, he scored 41 combined points. He was named the Big 12 All-Tournament Team as the only player in the conference to finish in the top six with points and assists. So this guy is a stud. 15.4 points per game. He's real creative. Can blow by defenders on offense. He's really solid. Number two, I got Caleb Love. My guy, Caleb Love from North Carolina, was a huge part to North Carolina's runs in the national championship game, beating Duke twice in the last month of the season, the two biggest games in the rivalry. When the lights are the brightest, Caleb Love steps up. If he plays well, Carolina plays well, and they succeed. He had 30 against UCLA. He had 28 against Duke in the Final Four. He was just unreal. Went nuts against Marquette in the first round. Just unreal. He scored at least 20 points in a third of the 39 games that he played at North Carolina last year. This guy is a problem. 15.9 points per game. I think he's going to be a lock for the first team all ACC next year. He's could be the best point guard in the nation. And then number one, returning guard to Houston, Marcus Sasser. 17.7 points per game last year until he got hurt. Just played 12 games last year with Houston. Season-ending injury, was second-team All-American Athletic Conference last year, or 2 years ago. And he was named the conference's All-Freshman team. So this guy, he can flat-out score, 100%. He can flat-out score the rock. Houston last year without him finished 32-6. They advanced to the Elite Eight after beating Illinois and Arizona, and took Villanova down to the final minutes of the game. Like, this guy's a problem. He can really score the ball at a high level. Look out. That's why Houston's going to be a top five team next year. Look out for Houston there for the Cougars and the American Athletic Conference in their last year, actually, before they go to the Big 12. Marcus Sasser, Caleb Love, Mike Miles, Matt Bradley, Isaiah Wong. That is my top five returning guards in college basketball. That is all I got for you guys today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Episode 60. Stay tuned for more episodes. Check out all the previous ones. Whatever you want to do, check them out. Thank you guys again so much for tuning in. We're almost to basketball time. We're in August. It's football. The attention's there. I'm getting goosebumps right now. Just getting so excited for college basketball and NBA basketball. So we're almost there, So a few months away, but can taste it on the tip of my tongue. That's all I got for you guys again today. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Beyond the Arc. We will see you next time.